live at CSUN 2010. This is Michael Off, and I caught up with James Geschel here with KNFB Reading Technology, and we can certainly talk about what's new there, but the big thing on our minds, James, is Blio.
Well, Blio's awesome. Blio is not just software. Blio is a whole new way of reading. If you ask me what Blio means, it means the world's best and accessible ebook reader. Now, the one thing you need to know first about Blio is that it is not a specialty product for blind people. A Blio isn't actually, let's say, a
right,
product
that's
at
the,
all.
That's the power of Blio. It's writing software that's going to be available to everyone, and the blind has been included in it from ground up because Ray Kurzweil has always, that has prompted his interest in, by someone that he's met on a plane to give the blind reading technology, but this is not just for the blind, so we're going to benefit by having a wealth of material.
Right. We are fully committed to an ebook reader that everyone can use, and so it's very, very exciting to see this actually coming about. And what we're about to see is access to literally millions of books. You know, if you think about it, the Library of Congress, which is a wonderful program, is only able to produce about 4 to 5% of the books published in the English language each year. And then, of course, you've got RFBND and Bookshare, etc. Various specialty programs, but we get only a small fraction of the books that other people get. With Blio, you know, we'll have access to all books that are electronic, and that's a growing number. So when we launch Blio very, very soon, we'll launch Blio with more books than are available to anybody through all blindness specialty services
combined. Right.
Correct.
So now, of course, many people heard the demo you did in Washington, D.C. I believe it was February 1st?
Yes.
Right. So how far have we come since then? What has been added? Or talk about which, this is software, right? So which devices are supported? I guess the Windows computer?
We're starting out with Windows computers, laptops, notebooks, netbooks, anything that's a Windows-based machine to begin with.
Okay.
Very, very soon, we will be on the iPhone, on Mac computers, MacBooks. We'll be moving ultimately to Symbian-based phones. So all kinds of portable devices.
But probably not the Windows Mobile platform? Is that one that you're probably
no,
not?
No, probably the Windows Mobile platform. I don't see why we wouldn't.
Okay, that's pretty exciting. So, folks, whatever device you have, you're going to have an opportunity. Although someone's going to ask me, I can hear it now, what about Linux?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I truly don't know.
Well, it's going to be based on numbers, and that's...
It's our intention to be on you know, as many possible platforms as we can.
Now, I noticed in your demo of the iPhone, it sounded like there were some unlabeled buttons. So I guess there's been some evolution in getting the
There have not been yet on the iPhone version. There will be. It's on a little bit slower track than the launch of Blio, which will occur in just a few weeks.
Really, that's soon.
On Windows machines, right.
So by that, do you mean within April? Do we think it will be?
You're trying to pin me down.
Well, I don't,
The answer I usually give people right now is this spring, 2010.
This spring. So in Q2.
Q2, 2010.
Okay, by the end of June at the latest.
Yes.
And we understand, I mean, things happen, you know. And I would rather wait and have it done right. And I hope most people feel that way as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So how many books, and not all books are imported into this yet, right? How many? What would the current selection, you think, be at the time of launch?
Oh, I would say 150 to 200,000 books by that time. But understand that this number is going to literally explode more and more and more. And we're talking millions of books, literally. What people need to know is that the publishing world is undergoing a massive conversion from ink on paper to digital. And as it does, I mean, obviously that could be done in such a way that we are closed out.
That was one of my questions.
That we are closed out. I've tried every ebook reader that will run on a PC. I know I can't use the Kindle on the Kindle, or the Nook on the Nook, you know. But I've tried running the software, and at one point or another in doing it, I'm blocked out.
Right, so what about like college textbooks?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely.
You know, this is one of the things that, that's why I said when I did a podcast on advocacy, this may be one of the times that we need to, and I know the NFB's already done quite a lot, but that we as a blind community unite more than ever to make sure that we are not locked out of what's going to be the greatest evolution in terms of access for us, because not only can we have all books at the same time as our sighted counterparts, but just the fact that we don't have to wait to get our college books or wait for someone to actually read them.
Well, you know, the NFB and the ACB together joined up and protested and filed litigation against universities that were using the Kindle in their classes. And all of those universities now have ceased from doing that. I think one or two possibly voluntarily, and others by direction of the Justice Department and by settlement of a lawsuit. And in every single case, those schools have said that they will not implement an ebook solution unless it is accessible. Well, BLIO offers them the opportunity to implement an accessible ebook solution.
So to make sure folks understand, there's a wealth of free material, but obviously, because someone said, what's the incentive? But there will be, of course, books that can be purchased, and then that's where they can derive revenue for the product.
Well, yes. I mean, that is a good point. With BLIO, sure, there will be access to millions of free books. These are books that are in the public domain. They're not under copyright protection anymore, and so we can make them available, and there's no cost for that. But of course, you know, there is no free lunch in the world. And the exciting part of this, I think it's very exciting, is that we are about, as blind people, we're about ready to be able to join the mainstream of people who buy books. Mostly we can't buy books. Or if we can, we can't afford to buy books.
Or if hardcover book, yeah, and we got to turn around and scan it in via one of the technologies.
Exactly. And then, of course, we have to pay $1,000 for the technology that lets us scan it in.
Well, not only that, James, but what I'm very excited about is the built-in capabilities to track. I mean, because so not only can have an enlarged display, but you could have Braille support if you have a Braille display.
That's correct.
But what I'm excited about is this being used to promote literacy, because the cursor can track so they can read along and hear via speech being spoken, so that you can use this to teach people how to
read. That is correct. You have all that capability within BLIO. BLIO is a very dynamic reading system. The book looks like a book with, as you just pointed out, a moving highlighter that tracks the text. And it's also dynamic in its audio output. We have really three choices of audio output. And again, it depends on what the publisher does to make that possible. But one option for audio output is, of course, audio, much like we hear on NLS books or
pre-recorded
audio. And a growing number of publishers are doing this more and more and more because people, you know, like to read books at times when they can't literally be watching the page. They're maybe driving or doing other things. So that's one option. Another option is our internal text-to-speech. Very high-quality text-to-speech, which enables people to, again, listen to the text as it's read by a TTS engine, and there will be several different choices.
That was one of my questions. Is this self-voicing so that you will provide some TTS, or will it be depending on the screen reading?
No, we provide TTS. Internal, and then the third option is what you just said. That's a screen reader, and you know, some people will prefer to read with their screen reader as well as reading with our TTS or the audio if it's available.
So what features have been added? What can we do now that maybe folks didn't hear in your original demo?
Trying to remember back, we could not download a book for that demo. All the books I had were stored in my Blio library. I could move from book to book and select a book and open the book and read within the book. I had some limitations on movement through the book that have been removed. I could probably at that point in time actually read the whole book, but navigation was much more limited. I can move now in page increments. We're obviously working on character, word, line, paragraph increments, headings, subheadings, chapters, things
like
that.
And you have bookmarking capabilities?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, Blio remembers where you were and when you.
I mean, you said multiple bookmarks, so if you either go between different books or within a given book, I'll go through and read a book and maybe want to mark 10 points that I want to come back and take some notes.
The other thing about Blio, and this part is not accessible yet, but the other thing about Blio is you can write sticky notes, basically think of notes in the margin. For things you want to remember, and save those so that you can, you know, use it as a study tool. But in any event, let's see. I could not. I said download, and now I can. This is truly exciting. The other day, I was working with some of our engineers and looking at what was available for me to download, and one of the options was the Complete Works of Plato, and I hit the button to do that, and the guy pointed out, he said, you know, this is a huge book. And about 10 minutes later, I had the Complete Works of Plato downloaded on my machine, and it goes immediately to the reading view, and the book was there for me to read. So that's just unimaginable. I don't know how large the file was.
No, I don't mean that one, but Blio itself. Well, how big of a download do you think it will be?
Oh, well, I don't know the bits and bytes, so don't.
Right. Okay. No problem.
That. Yeah.
I just wondered if it was going to be like a 30 meg or 100 meg. You know, if you're going to have voices in it, if it's going to be.
Oh, it'll have voices in it. It downloads very quickly. It installs very quickly. That's a pretty standard and basically seamless process. There is one caveat to that. Depending on the person's system, that is how up to date it is. Now, if it's Windows 7, that's got the latest .NET framework in it that's important for Blio to display.
Okay, so which .NETs do we need to make sure this works?
I don't know the particulars.
I wonder if they could be integrated. I know people like Jamal Masri write it into the program itself, and if they're not available, it can go and retrieve them and install them.
Oh, well, so. Leo does that.
Right, okay.
The installation will take care of that. No problem about getting it. And Leo will find it and install it. I'm just talking about the time.
Okay, so folks know that if they understand some other process is going on and they don't know what that is.
Yeah, and I know at an earlier point when I was installing Bleo and it had to install the .NET framework, it told me that this would take could take approximately 40 minutes, and I just went and had lunch, and by the time I got done, it was installed. So
will this have like pull down menus, or you know, is it going to have a file view edit type of thing, or is there just going to be some toolbar with buttons of different actions to engage?
I would describe it more as a toolbar approach, and the architecture could change from what it is right now. But basically, what you do is you have several different views. You have the library view, the settings view, the bookstore view, the download view.
So we have hotkeys to jump between these, or just tab between the views?
You don't tab. In some configurations, you can tab between the views. But what you do is Alt and then arrow left and right, view to view to view.
To change views.
Yeah, so
okay.
It's really, really simple. It's elegant. Design, I think, and then you spacebar or enter into the view, and then to do different things within the view, such as, for example, if you're in the download view, you've got different sources for books, such as Google Books, Feed Books, Featured Books, and the number of sources will grow. But let's say you wanted to go into Featured Books, then you would Control Tab, and then that puts you within Featured Books, and so once you hear the name, do Control Tab, and you're in the Featured Books, and then you arrow up and down for the books.
Now, is it proprietary in that the books can only be played within the Bleo reader? In other words, where I'm going with that is I could see a lot of people are thinking right now, well, what about my Victor Stream or BookSense or the new Bookport Plus? Can I port a book from my PC over to that device and read it? Or is it going to be dependent on having
OS, for copyright
reasons?
Well, sure.
Right.
We'll let you display or use the book in probably up to 5 different platforms. I think the exact number's undetermined yet, but of course it has to be a compatible platform. Victor Reader Stream would not have the kind of processing capability, for example, that we would need for the Bleo.
Okay. So you're thinking that, can I infer from that there may be selected portable book reading devices that may be able to work
well
in the future?
Should be pretty open, except that obviously the platform has to have the capability.
Right, the processing speed or supported format
exactly types.
Yes.
So right now, that would have to be a Windows operating system. And again, it could be a Mac fairly shortly, the iPhone certainly fairly shortly.
Are you looking at Android, even though its accessibility isn't quite there yet?
Yeah. Of course we are, it's not a question of not wanting to. We'll get there.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, obviously you have to give priority, and obviously the PC Windows format would be first, just based on sheer numbers.
Sure.
And maybe to find out what the user experiences are, you know, what issues you might have in the beginning.
That's right.
Well, this is an exciting project. Have we overlooked anything here?
The thing I want to really emphasize more than anything else is with Bleo, we as blind people now have the opportunity to join the mainstream of literacy, literature, and learning. I just never really imagined that this day would come about, but it's truly dawning. We're used to thinking of getting our books through one or another specialty kinds of services, and that means we have to wait, 6 months, a year,
and that brings
years.
Up a good point, because I wonder how this will ultimately alter the industry, either the NLS program or Bookshare or, you know, RFB and D.
I assume that over time it will. Blio or not, the whole publishing industry is changing in such a way that there will be more accessibility and less sole dependence on specialty services. I would say that that will be a trend that will evolve. It won't happen all at once.
Right, but part of the evolution here. Well, I want to thank you for taking a few minutes and sharing some insights that many of us did not know, and we look forward to a release this spring, assuming all goes well. We know, we'll have to play that by ear, but hopefully we can come on back on the podcast or maybe a tech chat and definitely accessible event and definitely demo, go through it.
Sure, we'd be very anxious to have an opportunity to do that.
All right, thank you very much, James.
Thank you.
Live from CSUN 2010 for SerialTalk.com podcast and blog, as well as SamNet Radio, this is Michael Loft.